You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society.
Before we go into our community connection portion of the show, we have a special guest with us today, Mike Crute, my husband and the host of the Devil Advocates radio show and owner of 92.7 whoop, whoop. FM. Woohoo! Mike, can you tell the listeners a little bit about your youth caregiving experience?
I had to think about this. I actually had this role twice. I was raised by a single mom, and I had a brother who was a couple years my elder. But my mom was first diagnosed with cancer, ovarian cancer, in approximately 1973.
Dang.
And I was 3 years old at the time.
Sure.
And she convalesced at home and effectively was on a couch in the living room. And my brother and I had to do things like put the chairs up against the counter.
Mm-hmm.
And then she would tell us, okay, go put the water in the pan and then turn it up to medium high and put the butter in. And we would run up and down the counters and we would have to cook.
Wow.
For ourselves and for our mom.
At 3 years
old.
And she came through that round of cancer pretty well. And eventually, actually, we had foster brothers and sisters. My mom had a degree in behavioral disability.
Oh, wow.
And we were exposed to her caregiving, actually, for other people's children, if that makes sense.
It absolutely makes sense.
And she was an unpaid lobbyist for the state of Wisconsin. And anyways, later, early 80s, we lived in Raleigh, North Carolina at the time. I had grown up here in Madison, but her family was down south. And in retrospect, I think we had a sense, or she had a sense, that something about her health, you know, she had had cancer once.
Mm-hmm.
I think she sensed something.
Yeah.
Because she moved us cross country. She moved us near her family.
Sure.
And a year or so later, we had seen some declining indications. She started losing vision in one of her eyes.
Mm.
And as it turns out, this was reflective and perhaps had lost some of her decision-making ability. And as a 12-year-old,
yep.
I don't know, you know, mom's acting a little different.
Yep.
Her health's been diminished in some way and probably, in retrospect, didn't have health insurance.
Right.
And probably didn't get it checked out. But when she did, it was discovered she had she had lung cancer and it had grown malignant and she had a brain tumor.
Oh.
And the tumor was pressing on her optic nerve.
Okay.
So that was the primary cause of vision loss. At that time, that was spring of 1982. The Brewers had a good year that year, but she was given just a few months to live.
Oh.
And she made it till Christmas. She made it till Christmas in 1982. She passed away. But my role as a caregiver was to, at that point, to be the primary decision maker in healthcare decisions and in everything.
Oh,
my brother took things very emotionally, any person could be expected to react how they react. But
sure.
I became the primary decision maker for the family at that point.
And you're young to be doing that.
Well, I've always been a decision maker ever since.
Well, that might lead into my next question, which is how do you think that experience has shaped you, both for the good or the bad?
It may be not the caregiving aspect, the losing of my mom made
right.
me kind of an angry kid. But
sure.
the impression my mom left upon me lifelong, everything from graduating from college to being a leader,
mm-hmm.
not a follower in life. But I would say it grew my expectation, good or for bad, because I was only 12.
Yeah.
And I felt fully empowered to make adult decisions forevermore in
sure.
my life.
Sure.
There was no more, Santa Claus, let's say. There was no more innocence of life.
Exactly.
And ever since, I have taken probably I've always taken decision-making upon myself. I've always trusted my own decision making for good or for bad.
Well, I think that's an excellent observation, and it makes a whole heck of a lot of sense, right? That when you're put into that role at that developmental part of your life, and you had to make not just decisions about whether we're going to have mac and cheese or peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but decisions that are life involving, it's going to have an impact on you in a way that's going to lead you with either you're going to crumble or you're going to have the fortitude to withstand and succeed. And from my observation, you did the latter. So it's been a pleasure like get to know you and to see that strength. So.
It is a fascinating story, and I feel like we could talk about it for hours. And thank you for sharing it, Mike. You are an inspiration to me, and maybe not so much our kids at the moment, but I definitely think they'll come around, as many others have. So
they're teenagers, so we also have to put that in there, right?
Yes.
No mom or dad is cool when you're a teenager.
Well, I think you're cool, Mike. Thank you so much.
Who said I wasn't cool?
The teenagers? No.
Moving on.
Yep. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Wow, Liza, this has been a really interesting show, hasn't it?
It has been.
What's really stood out to you?
Just how unaware I was of this situation, that this is going on, and the impacts that it has on the child.
Well, and in this last part when we were talking with Connie, and just realizing how simple it will be, or could be, and let's use will because I hope it is, to just enlighten different institutions in terms of putting it into curriculum for teachers, putting it into curriculum for nurses and doctors. It does seem like such a no-duh that you would ask when you're dealing with somebody who's got a chronic health condition, who's going to be taking care of you at home? And if they say, well, it's going to be my kid or it's going to be my grandkid, a nurse and a doctor should then, you know, not necessarily have to take on an entire family,
right?
But should then have the knowledge of what resources to connect that family to, right? Bring in the social worker, connect them with this organization.
Get the school involved. So situations like you mentioned happened. Yeah, I thought these kids go to school every day and probably don't tell anybody. So much work to be done, and so grateful that Connie is doing what she's doing.
Yeah. We would like to get to know you, so please make sure that you give us a shout out on Facebook or Instagram at our Empowered Caregiver Community. You can learn more about us and check out some of the cool stuff that we have coming up at www.empoweredcaregivercommunity.com.
Thank you for that. My mind went blank. I still was just like emotionally, not drained, but you know, listening to that story, it can take a lot out of you. Also want you listeners to mark your calendars for May 21st as we host our first live town hall.
Gosh. That's okay. Right. We're going to be doing something really cool in the political environment because, as we heard from Connie, advocacy is something that's got to be an important part of supporting the empowered caregiver community, whether you're old, whether you're middle age, or whether you're a youth. And so together we're going to do this, folks.
We have
a great week. And as Lester Holt would say, please take care of yourself and each other.
See ya.